degree all online. Study at your own pace. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE and leave your contact info for the staff to reach out to you. Also, Conservative Theological University is offering free your first introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, is birthright citizenship constitutional? The birthright citizenship, is it constitutional? We have those that are saying that if an individual comes from China, you have a baby, all of a sudden that baby is constitutionally guaranteed citizenship. In fact, there are boutiques where these other nations can come in, get a visitor's visa, go to the boutique, spend anywhere from $5,000 to upward of $50,000, and I read one article up to $100,000 to buy citizenship. How do they do that? That person comes in expecting. That person comes in on a visitor's visa and go through the boutique that allows them a place to stay, food, clothing, and shelter for 30, 60, 90 days until the baby is born. And bingo, that baby is a U.S. citizen. The boutique even helps get the documents and the citizenship papers for them. They go back. A parent that's a Chinese citizen with a baby that's now supposedly an American citizen. By the way, just for a few moments, a little insert here. Birthright citizenship is practiced in Australia, France, Germany, India, the United Kingdom. Look at those nations. Mixed up, messed up. In fact, the United Kingdom is now controlled by Islamic jihadists. The city of London, owned, operated, and controlled by Islamic jihadists. If we continue with the so-called birthright citizenship, with the open doors that a person can come in, have a baby, that baby is a citizen, and then by chain migration, chain citizenship, then the balance of the family can become citizens. I'm looking at an article, a magnificent article, by one of the professors at Hillsdale College. And it asks the question, who is a citizen? The article reads, very briefly, citizenship, of course, does not exist by nature. It is created by law, and the identification of citizens has always been considered an essential aspect of the nation's sovereignty. After all, the founders of the new nation are not born citizens of the new nation they create. Indeed, this is true of all citizens of a new nation. They're not born into it, but rather become citizens by law. Although the Constitution of 1787 mentioned citizens, it did not define citizenship. It was not until 1868, with the ratification of the 14th Amendment, that a definition of citizenship entered the Constitution. Here's the familiar language. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Thus, there are two components to the American citizenship. Birth of a naturalized birth or naturalization in the U.S. and being subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. We have somehow come today to believe that anyone born within the geographical limits of the U.S. is automatically subject to its jurisdiction. But this renders the jurisdiction clause utterly superfluous and without force at all. Ladies and gentlemen, we're treading on thin ice in America today, where this has come to the forefront. It's boiled to the point that it's now the U.S. Supreme Court's already heard the oral arguments. We're awaiting now a decision from the Supreme Court and its opinion as to what the 14th Amendment means. And they're focusing, I've listened to the arguments, the U.S. Supreme Court's focusing on the term, the word, jurisdiction. Jurisdiction. I believe Woody's on the line. Woody, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Timely comment. I appreciate you taking the call. What a muddy circumstance we have in our country today with citizenship, because I don't think we understand it. Let me start my discussion here with this statement. Citizenship has a divine purpose, okay? Mm-hmm. Citizenship is training on earth for what's next in heaven. So we have the citizenship on earth and the citizenship in heaven, and America, I believe, has been placed in history with the purpose of showing people what the culture of Christ looks like when we know and obey the Word of God. It produces a group of interactive people who are supporting the others around them, thinking of others as more important than themselves, behaving in accordance with the law, and then being as productive as God's talents that they have given them allow them to be. So we are benevolent, we are productive, and we are compliant to those laws in America which are based on the Word of God. So we're training on earth to be citizens of heaven. That may not apply to the other countries in the world. But it is in America, and America had a great purpose. Having said that America had a great purpose, let me tell you very directly what I believe the purpose is of this mass immigration. And I do it this way. There are two ages of America. The first age of America has the purpose of establishing Israel in 1948 back in the land in full cooperation with the prophecies of God. Mm-hmm. America birthed Israel. I don't care what anybody else says. That's what our purpose was, and that's why Truman was the first to recognize Israel on May the 14th of 1948. And we need to understand that. The second period or era of America was the era of decline, which began, I believe, in 1963, when the world decided that America was not going to exist anymore as America. It would be subsumed into the global world. And I think, I'm going to go away on a limb here, I believe God showed us that with the assassination of our president, President Kennedy, on TV with everybody watching. The fortunes of America changed. We had changed our direction. Mm-hmm. And we began the decline. The mass immigration that we see, which really began in the late 70s and in the 80s, the purpose was to further dilute the ethic that produced the America that produced Israel. America has to go away. It has to, its cultural influence on the globe must be destroyed completely before the world can become that one world government that the Bible talks about. She has to be taken out of the way, either by governmental decline or by kinetic action by another country nuking us. But the purpose of this open-door policy is to do what Barack Obama said, fundamentally change America. And we fundamentally change America from the rule of law that seeks to make a nation godly by the cooperation of its citizens with the law, their promotion of the law, and for their productive, benevolent behavior within the culture. All those three things have been pushed aside for the violation of the last commandment of the Ten Commandments, which is essentially thou shalt not envy, thou shalt not, you know, covet your brother's wife, your neighbor's wife, whatever. But really it says envy. Envy is the extrapolation of failure to focus on Father God, to obey the Shem of Israel. If you don't focus on Father God, you end up through the process of sin and compromise, ending up focusing on yourself. And when you focus on yourself, it's what you want. It's what you deserve. It is totally antithetical to every principle of previous American culture. And so the people that are coming in now are those who are envious, or who are being motivated by greed and paid to come mm-hmm. here, or other circumstances. But they're not coming here for the purpose of embracing the American culture, which is the Judeo-Christian ethic, to contribute to the upholding and perfection of law of the nation, and cooperating within those laws to produce a productive citizenship that adds back instead of takes from the culture. I don't know if I said it right, but that's pretty much what I have to say.
Well, you're on target, Woody. Let me read just a paragraph from Heritage Foundation. And I believe this is the answer, not the answer, but the cause. The State Department has erroneously interpreted the statute to provide passports to anyone born in the United States, regardless of whether their parents are here legally or illegally, regardless of whether the applicant meets the requirements of being subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. Accordingly, birthright citizenship has been implemented by executive fiat, not because it's required by federal law and not because it is required by the Constitution, end quote. In other words, as I understand that brief paragraph, according to the Heritage Foundation and their review of this subject, that the reason we're in the quagmire today is that by fiat, we've simply, through the State Department in past history, we've allowed that to be implemented, assuming and believing that the 14th Amendment requires it. And then going back to Hillsdale College, it says, it's broadly agreed by constitutional scholars that the purpose of the 14th Amendment was to constitutionalize the Civil Rights Act of 1866, which was passed over the veto of then-President Andrew Johnson. A supermajority of both chambers of Congress approved the act, which established the citizenship of newly freed slaves and the protection and the rights and the liberties of the same as gave birth to children, as the same as American citizens. Many in Congress initially argued that the passage of the 13th Amendment in 1865 granted citizenship and the rights and liberties attached thereto. There should be an explicit regulation or legislation that allows the 14th Amendment to come into existence to allow the children, the ones birthed by the then slaves, that they would be citizens. Is that the way you see it?
Well, I see that's the way the globalists want to destroy America. I guess I'm repeating myself. America has to go away. And we have these people by fiat, a somehow not lawfully supported statement of how things should be, that biblically illiterate and civics illiterate Americans foolishly embrace, so that the diversity that they're holding up as a virtue becomes the curse of dilution of the creeds of America that made us the great nation we are. We are an enemy to what the world wants. That's why the world hates God. The world hates Christians, mm-hmm. as you discussed so well on a recent program. We're entering in a period in which the benevolent law that Christians have abided by, based in the Bible, counters what the world wants to do to get that point where everybody gets what they do, man. Everybody gets what they do. I get my right. And that's the envy at the end of a dying culture, the failure to abide by the Ten Commandments. That's probably not the answer that you're expecting or looking for, but that's what's happening in our country.
Absolutely.
We have the dilution of the American ethic based in Scripture by the hellish but good-sounding term, diversity. No, America doesn't need to be diverse. America needs to be obedient to the very first commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, and might, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and progressively follow the other things, which are interactions with men. You don't kill, you don't commit adultery, you don't steal, you don't bear false witness, and you do not, I use this word envy, because Mark uses it to say this is why the Jewish authorities wanted to kill Christ, because of envy. I think it's Mark 15:10. Mm-hmm. We are in a state of total decline in this country simply because of what you said over and over again. We don't know the Word of God. Our forefathers did in those years leading up to 1948. We were a God-focused nation almost regardless of what denominational process you came from. But we are now a nation embracing all these ideas which are equally good. Nonsense. That book, I'm Okay, You're Okay, that came out, what, in the 60s, 70s, that really messed this thing up. No, I'm not okay, and you're not okay, unless we're focused on the God of eternity, period.
Well, Woody, let me ease into a transition. There are a number of denominational leaders today with the denominational dogma that we're to love everybody, embrace everybody. Let me give you two or three, I've got a dozen or so, but two or three verses that they hang on to, the moralists, the ones that are the super progressive woke denominations. Leviticus 19:34, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and shall love him as thyself. Now, I'll answer it and then let you respond. This didn't say they're citizens. This simply talks about the treatment of those that are not citizens. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Well, that's the fundamental principle of Christianity, kindness to others. We just look at, help me, Lord, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let every man look on the things of others more than he looks on his own things. Let him, that man, think of others as more important than himself. And Romans 12:3, for I say by the grace given to me to every man that's present among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but judge soberly according as God has given to every man the measure of faith. We must serve our fellow man. In Matthew 22:34-40, Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? Jesus said, well, it's the Shema of Israel, love God. But the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. In these, all the law and the prophets are summarized. If you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four deal with our relationship with God. The fifth is the transition through our parents to the earth. And the last five deal with how we deal with our fellow man.
That's right.
We must deal with kindness, earning the opportunity to share the gospel.
And then you have others, Woody, that says, Deuteronomy 10:19, love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Then another one is Deuteronomy 27:19. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger. Now, here's my take on that. The Bible consistently teaches that foreigners should be treated with dignity, fairness, and love, not exploited, but hospitality toward the stranger is framed as just kindness, moral and spiritual duty, and not to authorize the breaking of the law. And correct me if I'm wrong, America is a nation of laws. We're built on a nation of laws. Romans chapter 13 says that the law, the civil government that God created for us, is to prosecute evil and protect good. So if we have, here's my question, if we have those coming across the borders to give birth to a baby that's automatically bingo a citizen of America, and they're breaking the laws to do so, they're illegal invaders that breaks the law to then have a baby, to then be called a citizen. Should Christians embrace that and say, that's wonderful, I love you, you've broken the law, and nevertheless, we still love you, and you are not going to pay the penalty for the crime of breaking the law? The point that I'm making is, I'm astounded with the mindset that's often taken by Christians, moralists, denominational leaders, as to how we ought to treat this. We need to understand it, Woody, I believe, on the basis that if we continue the chain migration, if we continue the birthright citizenship as is taking place in Australia and France and Germany, India, and the United Kingdom, we'll be just like them in just a few years. And a little footnote to that, Woody, I'd love to have your take. I've studied and preached through the book of Nehemiah probably 6 or 8 or 10 times. When Nehemiah was called to build a wall, rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, he did so. When the wall was completed, if I'm not mistaken, the 11th chapter covers it pretty complete. They had a census to who qualified to go inside the gates to be in the walls of Jerusalem. And only 10% were granted permission to go into the walls. Now, God created that. God did that. And if nothing else, I believe we should use that as a benchmark, as a standard for what we're doing in America. God has given us a nation of laws. We need to have the laws that are upheld. And if the laws are not, we need to consider those as lawbreakers and be punished based on the law. Now, I've said a whole lot, but the bottom line is, Woody, what would be your recommendation to those that are listening today that are that love the Lord, that are Christians, professing believers, and are tenderhearted and believe that we need to embrace these that are coming in with chain migration and claiming birthright citizenship? What is your benevolent words to them on how that attitude, mindset should change?
Okay, can we cross out the word benevolent? Because I'm going to speak a bit harshly. I believe it's Psalms 139. Extract a phrase. Do I not hate those who hate you? We must ask the question of purpose. People were brought to this country in the first era of America, when we were a godly nation, to be brought in to be part of the process. All the people of the world, all the Gentile people of the world, returning Israel to her place in history, her preeminent place in history. We don't understand that. We don't believe it. Well, the Lord says only 10% of the people are going to understand anyway. Well, that's my interpretation of the passage in Amos. But many are called, but few are chosen. And many shall say to me, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, depart from me, because I knew you not. We have a small kernel of wisdom that was developed in America to guide the world. And people came in to learn that and to understand it in these final days. Our purpose has been fulfilled, and now we see the dissolution of that through the evil of this nice-sounding word, diversity and inclusion. Nonsense. Do I not hate those who hate thee? We must not take kinetic action against them. We must see people as potential seekers. We must treat them with kindness to earn the right to preach the gospel to them. But we do not compromise. We do not accept. We do not allow their venomous poison to seep in. And we're the ones that are responsible if that happens. We're a nation of laws. The laws must be applied. There must be a wall to the southern part of this country to keep out those whose purpose is to destroy the Christian ethic of America so that America can be subsumed into that one world order. I hold that fiercely, and whether people like it or not, it's too bad. Amen. Many are called, few are chosen.
Amen. One exit question. In your opinion, how is the Supreme Court going to rule on this question?
I think you said it 6-3, or somebody did.
I'm counting the wacky women as not non-voters. Anyway.
No, let me be a little bit better. You're starting off with 6-3, okay? But in that six, you've got three that are who knows. Mm-hmm. So I'm praying that the Supreme Court upholds the law of the land. But I fear there's a possibility that we could see otherwise. We're at a tipping point in America. We're there. Mm-hmm. We're at the tipping point. And what our legal system that is our Achilles heel right now, in spite of the, quote, conservative majority we have on the court, is probably the thing that is ultimately going to break our country.
I'm afraid you're right, Woody.
More, I'm not going to be more specific. That's all I can say.
You're correct, and I'm thankful for you. Thank you so much for your call, for your words of wisdom, and thank you so much. We pray that we'll keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Woody, thank Amen. You so much. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We're asking the question today, is birthright citizenship constitutional? We hear that it is. We hear by many of these Marxist media, we hear by most of the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats that yes, you come into America, you cross the border, you can be 9.5 months pregnant, and you have a baby, and bingo, that baby's an American citizen. Then for your family, you can demand food, clothing, and shelter. You can demand a cell telephone and a place to stay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because after all, your baby is an American citizen. They've tried that now in Australia and France and Germany and India and United Kingdom and other nations. And ladies and gentlemen, every nation, including the Netherlands, every nation that's tried open borders and open chain migration and citizenship by birth, they're nations today that's ruled and dominated by the Islamic jihadists, and they cannot get out of that trap. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, as we understand the book of the Old Testament in particular, that there were moral laws, there were national laws for the nation of Israel. The foreigners living among the Israelites were still expected to respect the laws of the land, especially the moral and religious laws. So it's not an open border framework in the modern sense. It's unusually humane for the time in which we're living to say that we have laws and you need to respect the laws of the land. Should not be an open border, birthright citizenship nation. If we continue down that track, ladies and gentlemen, we will lose our nation, just as Woody was saying just a few minutes ago. We understand, ladies and gentlemen, that there's the Supreme Court that ultimately will rule. They'll make they'll give an opinion sometimes in the next few months. And it is my prayer that they will read the Constitution. And my statement's always been, look at the four corners of the document called the U.S. Constitution. Don't go beyond it. Don't look at national law. Don't look at international law. Don't look at what other nations are doing. Look at it from the perspective, who wrote it, when it was written, why it was written, and what the 14th Amendment was to preserve and to codify in written form. Not going beyond that, ladies and gentlemen. And if they stick to that, we'll understand that our nation has a right to define. Our nation, America, has the right to define our own citizenship laws. Maintaining order, maintaining the border, maintaining the legal process is a legitimate reason. And ladies and gentlemen, don't give me any scripture out of context and tell me that we need to be benevolent to the foreigner that's coming in. We do. But it doesn't mean they get citizenship simply because their baby was birthed in America. That doesn't work in China. That doesn't work in Russia. That doesn't work in the Islamic nations around the world. And it ought not to be prevalent in America. So we need to keep praying, asking God to give divine intervention and deliver this decision through the Supreme Court to be correct. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships.